we got to get the Rugalita.
Rugalita.
Let's see. I got the Rugalita right somewhere around
there it is. Look for it.
Closing main breaker.
Back from the Costa Rica.
That's yes,
I want to thank you all for waiting. It's only been 2 weeks since we, because I, you know what I found out down there? Even though when I had a strong signal on my internet, it was only transferring at like 15 dial-up speed, which
right.
is why I couldn't get through. I didn't realize. Yeah. I didn't realize until I got back here how fast this, my internet is here.
Right.
Well, it's good to have you back.
I feel great. I'll tell you, it was the trip was like too much fun. I actually learned a little Spanish. And
that was the point of the trip.
That right? was the point of the trip. That's right.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I got up to the past tense. I got up.
Abre su libre.
Yes. Well, yes, that's right.
Cojones.
Yes. Those two. So, yeah. No, that's great. I wanted to thank a few people. I did get a couple of emails. I got from Jeff in Astoria, and we chit-chatted on email a little bit, and also James. Don't know where James from. We talked about immigration, which you're going to talk in about a few minutes. Now, let me just, while we're here, we got Jack Rose.
Hey, it's
hey Jack. We have our Council Curtis.
Hey.
God love you. And Engineer Eric.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to be back.
Running the knob.
This is going to be a great show. It's going to be a great show. Wanted to thank the Hangar Dogs.
Oh, in fact, these guys haven't seen them.
Oh, my God.
Little treat for everybody.
TheHangarDogs.com.
We're
opening the presents. We have.
Oh wow!
We have
did
something
you see
to
these coffee? Oh my God! Well, there and they.
Wow, those are special looking.
And they were reasonably free.
And a couple zaps for you guys.
This is great.
Big thank you out there to the Hangar Dogs.
No,
we appreciate
big. Yeah, no, they're great. No, as
top
usual.
Top notch.
That's right. Top notch. Hey.
For those of you new listeners, for
you have to go to
Hangar Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's HangarDogs.com.
Right.
So that's they're just hysterical as usual. They're probably going to be on probably by the time.
Actually, I think they're doing a show like yesterday.
Okay, cool. So they'll beat us on there by a little while. And the usual, I also got to like to promote Stephen Molyneux's thing, mm-hmm. which is up there in Canada. He's still doing his two a day. Libertarian, more Vulcan type libertarian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The logic, live long and prosper.
Okay. Well, we got lots to talk about.
No, we have lots. We want to talk about. We want to talk a little bit about immigration again, which we did before, but even we need to reiterate this because
people are still talking.
Oh well, of course they are,
and we can talk more.
And we can. And I actually have some additional notes.
Well, absolutely, things have changed.
That's right. And maybe let's see. Want a trade deficit with China? Of course. What's his name?
Who's
on first?
Who's
came
on
over
first?
Here and met with Bill Gates, the richest guy in the world.
First,
right? Yeah. Hi, Bill. Good to see you. Well, no. Needless to say, Bill had a $1 billion question for the guy.
Well, he had a $1 billion check for Bill.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who?
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I know that.
They're going to try to swap back some of that Chinese trade surplus.
Well, that's not all. Of course, Bill realizes that since there's 890 million Chinese over there that are all pirated his XP.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd certainly like to get some of that dough back.
Well, they've started paying for it now.
Yeah, I know. But still.
In the last couple months.
Right.
Well, now they can be supported by Microsoft.
Only 400 quote, million unquote. Copies got out of it.
Yeah, right.
That was only 400
million copies. Somebody's CD burner was working a little overtime.
Boy, isn't that the truth? But, of course, CD burners over there, what, like a dime?
Right.
That's why they had a network of 55 of them.
Right.
Yeah.
The entire warehouse is glowing red. You can see them from outer space. Satellite.
I think Hu also met with Boeing.
He met with Boeing, right? Because they do.
I think they named a plane after him.
So he went to both Washingtons, didn't he?
That's right.
That's right. He went to Washington and then went to
Washington State.
Then to D.C., right. So anyway, let me just finish up a little bit. My Costa Rica adventure was interesting. Coming back, got on the plane. As I mentioned on the podcast two podcasts ago, I could have taken you know, anything down there. I mean, you know, live plutonium ready to explode. Right. It could have gone with me down there, no
box
problem.
Box cutter.
Box cutters. Oh, box, hell, no.
Box cutter.
We're talking Bowie knives. Bowie knives. Bowie knives hanging on my belt.
First class. Yeah.
Could have gone down there. Well, coming back, it was interesting. As I got on the plane, no problem. Everybody just kind of waved through. They did a little, I guess, profiling or something like that, which means I didn't get searched.
Well, you had to take off the shoes. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, all that. And take the laptop out and all that stuff. But I got on the plane with a lighter. I mean, I put it out. They saw it. I got on the plane with a lighter. I thought you could have one lighter. But then as I was leaving the airport in Atlanta, mind you, I've already flown.
Right.
I'm in the United States. I'm leaving the airport. That's when they confiscated my lighter.
How dare you go into public?
How dare you leave this airport with a lighter? And his justification was, it's an explosive device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking,
yeah, only if you throw
how many planes?
Yeah, if it's next to a bomb,
right? Well, yeah. I'm wondering how many lighters have been I mean, I remember in the old days when these things first came out, the butane lighters. Not the butane. The ones that were pressurized. If you're there in your pocket, you'd feel a burn on your leg because they would leak as the pressure went down. You know,
before my time.
Well, I understand that. That was back.
So he's afraid that the lighter is going to explode if you came back
on the plane, right? And of course, I was going to be inspected twice more coming back in.
And lighters have been responsible for exactly zero explosions,
right,
or in fires.
But he did turn to me, and you know, one of these, have a nice day. He did turn to me and says, "We appreciate your cooperation." You know, this is one of those things.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, no, right.
Did you hit him with your cell phone?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's what you have.
It was a closed fist on the chest.
Yeah, closed fist.
We don't need speaking budget.
We have. Appreciate your cooperation, gringo.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Of course, you're in the States.
I was already in the States. Yeah, well, then, of course, I got back here.
They didn't speak any English.
That's right. So at least they spoke English in Costa Rica. So anyway, the deal was, of course, that's when I got back and found out that there had been the crash down here at our airport.
Yeah, bad news.
Here in Northern Florida.
So I had to lay over in Hotlanta for a night, and after...
That really happened.
Yeah, and no, but that Delta, courtesy Delta. Delta's been so nice to me. I mean, I flew down there this time for $29, down to Costa Rica and back for $29 round trip because I'd gotten booted off I had given up my seat a year ago from Florida. And this time, I was praying for this flight to be oversold, but unfortunately, there was one seat on the plane.
you were
empty.
Trying to do your humanitarian duty.
I was standing up there near the thing saying if they wanted anybody to be bumped for, you know, a ticket.
Free hotel and $200.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got the free hotel.
Okay.
And then they gave me a meal. They said, here's a $7 voucher. I said, boy, I'm going to pork out on this. I tell you, woohoo, in the Atlanta airport, $7, I'd buy you a Coke.
Slice of pizza.
Right. So anyway.
All right, so it was a successful trip.
It was very successful. As I say, I moved up to the past tense, and I think one more month after this, I'll be able to maybe even say something. I went today, as a matter of fact, with a friend of mine. She is from Bogota, and she gave a lunch for kind of a welcome home lunch with a bunch of her Spanish-speaking buddies. So I went over there today, and it was interesting because one of the fellows that's there is an avowed socialist. I mean, this guy is, you know, Karl Marx is conservative compared to this guy.
We need to get him on the show.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, my God. Well, it was just funny because I was mentioning how in Costa Rica, some of the problems they have is that the government owns everything. I mean, and they don't have any pricing. They don't know how to price stuff.
Right.
And of course, it was interesting because while I was down there, the price of gasoline went up by about 10 or 15%, you know, as it is here in the private sector, but the government did it by decree. Every single station charges exactly the same price, though. And in fact, the government owns the refinery. It's not, you know, it's not Esso or Exxon or Citgo or anything. They own the refinery in order to provide for gasoline. So the price went up about 10 or 15% just while I was there. And this guy looks at me and says, "Well, you know, if it was privately owned, you'd get gouged." And I'm thinking, "Wait a minute. Well, the government just raised the price," and you know, I'm thinking like, "What are you?" He was all worried that the private sector would raise the price.
Right. Well, that's maybe what they've been told.
So
what is the price of gasoline?
It's actually not that bad. It's by the liter, but it turns out it's about $4, which is
$4 a gallon.
Yeah. It ended up being around about $4, which is not all that bad. I mean,
well, that's what it's going to be.
For worldwide prices.
Well, for worldwide, not only that, when you realize that all the cars down there, literally, I saw cars down there that I didn't realize existed. They're small. They had SUVs that are the size of my Honda. I mean, they had, you know, complete SUVs.
Hey, we love Honda, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, they
what about sponsors? maybe our future sponsors? You know, we could use a Honda.
Well, the other thing that, of course, I did realize, the things that you'd like to have a friend, the electric company is, and all the utilities are owned by the government. So it's pretty much so, and they provide the health care, which is socialized also. What you don't understand down there, what I found interesting, is if you're more than about 20 miles away from the capital city, you're insured all right, but you get no health care. I mean, you have all the insurance in the world. You got a piece of paper that says, I'm insured against everything, except you're going to die if you get anything.
Because you can't walk the
20, 30. You can't get to the hospital. You can't get there. So insurance means nothing.
Right.
It's the people don't understand. They're talking about 44 million people that are not covered in the United States by insurance. Well, you can insure them all you want. You could insure everybody in Somalia. They're still going to die. I mean, it's just, well, actually, I think death is, I mean, on this planet, isn't death pretty much 100%?
Well, it depends on, you know.
I saw in today's paper where they said that they had 50,000 fewer deaths nationwide. The experts were totally surprised, and I'm thinking, well, I guess those people aren't going to die.
Well, it's not hurricane season yet.
No, that's true. And I'm gonna wait. So anyway, that was my trip to Costa Rica, and I had a good time, and I'll go back maybe later on. But we'll see. Next time, I'll see if I can get a little higher speed.
Do you see any eco people down there going to the rainforest?
Eco people. Oh, my God. They're buried in eco people down there. I mean, buried.
I met some guy here while you were down there. Actually, some guy's parents. Who he was setting up spiritquestretreats.com or something like that. And it's this totally off the grid environmental bubble where you cruise down there and I guess you make your own butter or whatever it is. I mean, everything's done by sunlight and.
Oh, good. Yeah,
we walk through
the forest and leave no footprint.
That's right.
We don't poop for a month.
Well, so to segue a little, were you able to talk to any of the locals down there about the immigration?
Yes, in fact, good point. They have an immigration problem that they think is as bad as ours. They get people that are moving up now. Two kinds of immigration that are we would certainly relate to that here in the States. One is rich Argentines are now fleeing the country. Because of
fleeing
Hugo.
Argentina,
fleeing,
right.
and they're coming up there buying, they're paying the shitload. Pardon me, the big prices,
right.
The big prices for this, and they're driving up the prices of the rich stuff. Number one, and the poor Colombians are sneaking in. They're boat people. They are literally boat people. And if you go to some of the beaches, especially on the Pacific side, you find illegal Colombians selling beads on the street and stuff like that. I mean, it is not a whole lot different from the Mexicanos coming in.
I don't want those Colombians here, you know?
Yeah, that's right. No, but I mean, it's hysterical because they are as concerned when you talk to the people. Where I was in San Jose, which is in the middle of the country, essentially, there's no immigration people there. And actually, most of them, I found it interesting, they all spoke Spanish. So, you know, it's kind of like here. And
I was going to say that image,
so what else
image of the beach reminds me of Miami down there. But.
Right. Well, no, yeah, exactly. Except for the beach at Yaco is a little, more like. It ain't Miami. It's not.
So, or maybe a bridge in Key West, something like
that.
Yeah.
So, how did they handle their immigration problem there on their beaches?
Yeah. Since guns are.
Or is it more like. What's behind door number two?
Actually, as you well know, guns are perfectly legal to own in Costa Rica, just as they are here. Same thing exactly. And I imagine if somebody comes up, you can do the bullet trick.
No, I mean seriously. What's their legal? Do they have a legal approach to the whole issue? Or?
Nope. They're just hoping it'll go away because they don't have any.
They have no way to deport them.
They have a quote police force which is totally ineffectual.
It's got to be corrupt.
Get back on.
Well, they have a lot of corruption. A lot of corruption, especially at the higher level. And when I just bought a book actually called
The Corrupted Police of Costa Rica,
The Heritage of the Conquistadors, which I'm going to read.
Yeah,
and this has to do with the way things are run down there now. And I'm gonna I'll have more to say on that some other day when I read it.
Find it at our local sponsor, Amazon.com.
That's right.
So,
well, yeah.
So you're saying that the entire country of Costa Rica is now going to hell in a handbasket because of rich Argentinians and both.
Yeah. You know what those rich
Yeah, that's right. The rich ones are coming in, and then they're having that cheap labor come in.
Right.
And which is, and yeah, it's, and of course, so yeah, hell in a handbasket.
Right.
Okay. Bye.
So we're not alone with this problem.
No. Well, as I say, the things you'd like to have, there are two franchises that you would really like to have in Costa Rica. One is the razor wire franchise, because every house is surrounded by, I'm serious, right, by razor wire. I think I sent you a picture, didn't I?
We need
to put that on the old website, and I'll show you what every house is like. And the other one is the Monroe shock absorber franchise, because I think they import their potholes. They have so many of them. I am not sure where they get them all from, but they are legion. And where I was, of course, in the center, it's kind of mountainy, and they don't have a lot of asphalt. So what they do is
it's asfalto. Yeah, it's kind of like asphalt.
That's right.
It's like made out of oatmeal, though.
That's
really.
Right. It's
asphalty.
It's asphaltish. That's right. It's kind of asphalty looking. But what they do is here in the States, of course, that you can have a 10 degree incline or something. Well, down there they've got like a 40. They have the incline is figured so that when you put the brakes on, you don't actually slide backwards on the road. If you have new tires, yeah, bald tires, you're dead. Right. No. You're going to you put the brake. You better keep going forward, because otherwise you're going back down.
Looks
the
like
hill.
Olympic curling. That's mountain
it.
Style.
That's it. So that and they have a lot of that. I mean, it's windy. I mean, it doesn't take much to get carsick down there.
Well, they're taking it into. They're probably handling it mostly, like we're talking about. They take care of it themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
And through corrupt and that's starting to happen here.
Well, it is.
I just heard something today about Arizona or something. The Minutemen. You heard of this,
no.
this organization?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of the Minutemen.
Right. Taking it on, now they're going to start patrolling it themselves.
Well, that may be. I can tell you there's a couple things. There was an article, I guess, was it today's paper, where the feds arrested hundreds of people?
Yep.
This, I thought, was interesting.
What you're talking about when they broke into now they're going after companies.
Right. Well, this was some kind of,
year-long sting operation.
Year-long. It took them a year, and it was a company that makes,
pallets.
Pallets,
wooden
right.
Pallets.
Wooden pallets. They arrested.
Very high-tech job.
Yeah, very high-tech, right. I'm worried. Yeah, we're worried about that, boy. I'll tell you.
Losing that industry would be devastating blow.
Oh,
yeah,
devastating!
Yeah,
and Intel was shaking in their boots on this
right.
one because of, the pallet. Boy, the pallet right. industry. They have businesses like in five or six states, and there's like six or seven executives were arrested, and what 1,000 or 1,100 quote illegals. I guess they don't know for sure, but they rounded. This was after a year long investigation, and the quote from the.
Are they sure it just wasn't a wedding down somewhere?
It could have been. I don't know. And of course, I don't know how many of the people spoke whatever lingo these people do. But I mean, you could stop any cab in Washington D.C. probably and
deport somebody.
Deport somebody. Yeah, I mean, either the passenger or
the
driver.
Carjacking. I was making a citizen's arrest.
That's it. Exactly right.
Well, apparently, this was a company that was actively pursuing illegals.
Right. Well, that is the threat. That is the
charge.
Contention. That's
right.
The charge. Right. And as they say, after they indicted the ham sandwich, they went and probably got
and
these
did
guys.
You, did you notice it wasn't actually in L.A. that they did this.
No, right. Oh, God. It was like New York.
Bilgerville, Pennsylvania, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Westboro, Massachusetts. There's some thriving.
Cincinnati, Houston, Indianapolis.
No. But I thought this was interesting. The lady who apparently was Julie Myers, the IC, the immigration and whatever it is, enforcement people.
Customs
we have no tolerance for corporate officers who harbor illegal aliens for their workforce. Today's nationwide enforcement actions show how we will use all our investigative tools to bring these individuals to justice, no matter how large or small their company. Now, what I want to tell you is this. If this shows how they're going to pursue this thing, if you might as well just leave the gates wide open. Think about it. 1,100 people, year-long investigation. Mm-hmm. By any measure, roughly 100,000 illegal immigrants come into this country every month. So that means.
So there's a deficit of.
90,000 a month. No, I'm sorry. No, 99,000 a month is the deficit. Now, at that rate.
You'll reach critical mass.
In about the year 5,500.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. People keep talking about how many immigrants are coming in, and they're all worried that the population of the U.S. is going to be polluted or diluted or changed or whatever, because of this supposedly large percentage.
I'm not sure that's what everybody... there's a little jingoism here, for sure. I'm xenophobia and all that, but I've talked to some people that they their raison d'etre, that is what they hang their hat on, is that many of these people are soaking up the social services, i.e., mostly the schools and the hospitals, the emergency rooms. That's the big deal. Now,
well, let me segue into this, just saying quickly, that was part of what happened, and this happened just in the last couple of days, I believe. Illegals coming over, 23 people in one car coming over, racing across. The car crashes. 16 of them end up in the hospital.
Really?
A couple of them dead. This has just happened in the last couple of days.
23 people in a car?
In a car.
Where they were applying for a job at Ringling Brothers as the clown? In the clown deal? I mean, what, 20? Give me a break. They're setting a record.
Obviously, it was a truck or a car.
College students, and they got tired of stuffing the...
It was a Chevy.
It was a Chevy, man.
And that's a classic example of them filling up our hospitals.
Well,
everybody realizes.
Think about it, though. That's 23 people. We're talking about 11 million here. I mean, I think you have to look at the perspective here. Think about it. If you took 1 million illegals, do the math, folks. It's 10,000 Greyhound buses, and the line stretches for 200 miles. That's 1 million. Okay, that's not 11 million. That's 1 million.
Yeah, how many people did they evacuate out of New Orleans eventually? 500,000?
And how many buses did they use? None.
I mean, how many buses exploded?
Yeah, right.
Houston?
I mean, and let me tell you, you can imagine.
Killing all on
here's
board.
Here's the bus line, 200 miles long. Do you suppose that any of those bus drivers might be bribed with sex, drugs, rock and roll, or money? To not exactly go make it all the way to Mexico.
We're just taking a break here at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right. We're just turning off here to see my uncle.
Yeah, look, I solved this problem in my little show.
We heard Councilor Curtis's, you know, opinion.
What do you think,
Jimmy? If someone came to you and said, what is the solution to this?
Okay, I'll tell you what the solution is. I'm going to tell you what the solution is. The solution is, first of all, you have to open up. That's right. You could do what they do sometimes with criminals. You know, they call them up and they say, you've won an award. You need to come down here
and
claim your DVD player. And then they arrest them all when they show.
We're giving out the award right over the border.
Right, that's right. Into that shower.
That's right. No, yeah, the shower. Right. I tell you what they have to do. The simple fact is, I wrote this to one of the fellows that wrote about the immigration thing. Now, let me digress just for a second. One of my favorite cartoons. Did I tell you about my favorite cartoon? The Hagar cartoon?
Yes.
It shows Hagar with Lucky Eddie, and they're standing in front of this big castle. Obviously, Hagar's getting ready to rob it or do whatever he does. And Lucky Eddie says, well, how are you going to do it? He says, well, we sneak in, we grab the loot, we escape. And, I mean, you're thinking, well, that might be a little vague. And then, what they're saying now is, we seal the border, we export them, we're all happy. I'm thinking, whoa, seal the border. I mean, think about it. There's a little bit more to it. If you build a 2,000-mile Roman wall, Chinese wall, whatever, Berlin wall, watchtowers, killing fields, dogs, machine guns, the whole nine yards, 2,000 miles, I mean, what does that say, number one? Number two, are you really going to shoot somebody as they scale this wall? Are you going to shoot the people, kill them with killing fields? You know, this is kind of a reverse Berlin Wall. And number two, I mean, the deportation, you can't imagine the scale that you're talking about here. It's 11 million people.
Right.
And some people are saying it's 25 million, it's 6. I mean, who knows? But then you're going to have this... You're going to end up with ID card, a certified ID card,
license to be frisked,
license to be stopped by anybody with a badge. And if you don't have your papers, then they take you in now, you know.
Mm-hmm. You are not legal.
That's right. It is going to be
the next evolution.
Everything but the German accent will be free. So here, the solution is you open up about 9 Ellis Islands all around the United States, and you put one in Denver, Chicago, New York. They're like Ellis Islands, and you say, come on, just line up and come on through. We're going to take your picture, fingerprints, whatever it is, give you a new name if you need it, whatever it is, and you're in. I mean, that's what they did before. And the simple fact is that if people are saying, well, pollute the cut, whatever it is, And then what you do is the other thing is, and even Walter Williams, one of my favorite people, Walter Williams and Tom and Sol have missed the point, and the Patriot people are doing the same thing. The simple fact is people are complaining because they say, well, they're filling up the schools, they're taxpayer dollars. This shows you a government problem is the government solution always creates another government problem. And whose idea was it to make hospitals free? I mean, whose idea was it to make them taxpayer supported? Whose idea was to have government run indoctrination systems, schools, aka the schools, right?
I was going to say, isn't the hospital's not free for me?
No, but have a law that's supposed to help poor people that says if you go to the ER, they have to see you no matter who you are.
Humanitarian.
Humanitarian. Well, guess what? Backfire city. The other thing that they want to do is, and a lot of people are talking about, look, they're worried that this Mexican mama comes across the thing and has her kid, and immediately the kid is a citizen. The problem is with that is that happens to be in the Constitution, and it's a bit of a problem. So you don't get me wrong; it's kind of like the Second Amendment. You know, when if you don't like guns or you don't like free speech on the First Amendment, you have to change the Constitution.
Right.
You don't like kids being born in this country.
The citizens,
you have to have Amendment Number 29 or whatever the next
pass
one is.
A law.
I'm saying, yeah, no, law's not going to work. You have to, which is not a problem. Go ahead. If you don't like it, then we have a way to change it. No problemo. But if you think my point is this super simple, give it over, and this is one of the reasons why the people in Washington can't come up with anything is because they realize that anything to do with 11 million people, I don't care what it is, ain't gonna work.
Right.
It just ain't gonna work. I mean,
yeah, there's no way you can corral that many people.
No, I mean, and they're all, well, look, here's the article. You know, Massachusetts, Cincinnati, for God's sakes, you know, they're all over the country. Then there's gonna be, as an attorney, you can tell us maybe what there might possibly be some pitfalls to this. That is to say, is there a chance that you will round up a porpoise with the tuna? Is there a chance?
My name is just Rodriguez, man. I'm an American.
No, I mean, seriously.
There's no question about it. That's going to happen. And I mean, I'm not an immigration attorney, but I can tell you that there's people who fight those deportations, and it's based on reasons just like that.
And when you think about it, I mean, here we got a year long. They got 1,100. Of course, they're not out of the country yet. I mean, they're going to go through the court system. Clog those up. Big money to be spent. I mean, when you think about it, they could take probably just about the entire gross national product, all the profits of all the corporations, kill off Bill Gates, and take all his money, build the wall, export, and then where are you?
I mean, so your idea is to register everybody.
Yeah.
Just taking that a step further, what happens if people say, I don't want to be registered?
No. He's talking about people who come into the country, not those of us that are here.
Well, I'm talking about the ones that are here. Not the citizens. I'm talking about you basically, you open up the Ellis Island and you say, if you want to immigrate to this country, you have to go through our little port here.
Checkpoint.
But you don't have to get an ID or anything and walk around with an ID.
No.
Go through the process.
You just go through the process like as they did at Ellis Island.
Well, we already all walk around with an ID.
Well,
you're not required to
drive. You drive around.
See, driving is a privilege. Now, citizenship, they can say, is a privilege as well.
Well, don't illegals get driver's license? Can't they get a driver's license?
And not only that, listen, though, even though it's illegal to have your driver's license, they don't arrest you if you don't have it. They give you a ticket.
Right.
Civil infraction.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it's not like they're taking you in. I don't want to have a national ID card for anybody because I don't want to have. To me, that's a license to be free. And that means if you don't have it, or it's out of order,
your papers are not in order,
then they take your butt in, because they have to, because it's a matter of national security.
That's right, and it always is. And I mean, and we've seen how this works. I mean, every movie, every World War II movie you ever see is one of these.
Seriously, it's amazing. I want to comment quickly on the population that people keep talking about. You know, the population now is 300 million. Here we are, 280
million or whatever, plus the illegals.
280, whatever. And in 1900, the population of the U.S. was 75 million.
Okay.
Okay, so we got 7 million, roughly, immigrants around 1900, 1905. That's 10%. Okay, so it didn't wreck the country. It turned New York into a great city. I don't see how a measly 9 or 12 million now is going to somehow...
It's less than 5%. It's 3 or 4%.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, that ship has sailed. I mean, they're here. You can
even talking about the new people coming in.
Which I talked about, by the way. I don't know what the number is, but the legal number of allowable is
700,000.
700,000 is so. In other words, let's say on January 3rd, 700,000 people get their stamp.
Right.
I mean, that means on January 4th, it doesn't matter who you are, you don't get into this country for any reason.
And
that's
you're,
it.
You're climbing the wall.
And so, I mean, 700. It's a joke. It's a joke.
It is.
You're going under the
tunnel.
It takes. I got an email from one of our listeners that said it took his wife, I think, 11 years or something, and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, give me a break. This is the stupidest thing you can imagine. I mean, how? And they talk about, well, you're going to send all the criminals over here. Well, robbery and that kind of stuff, it's illegal. You know, you get arrested for that. Even if you live here.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody today, and he said, well, okay, I can appreciate it, you know, if they'd have a moderate, you know, control of the English language and know a little bit about the history of the world. I said, you know, newsflash, the kids today that are citizens here don't know that.
Look at jaywalking.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Everybody, to be serious about it, everybody learns the English language well enough to be able to communicate to their peers and their coworkers and such like that, even if it's...
Or sign language.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, basically, though, communication happens, and so we're not in danger.
And I can tell you, the thing about it is that the thing about it is the first generation, I don't care whether they're Italian or anything, they don't make... The kids, trust me.
Kids will have no accent.
The kids will have none. They'll be perfect. In fact...
They'll be bilingual.
Or not. They don't only speak English.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you right now.
That's true. Most of my second or third immigration friends, third generation immigrant friends.
Don't speak a word of whatever the thing. When I was down in Guatemala, for instance, one of the kids down there was Guatemalan, but he'd grown up in the United States, and he was in the school, in lesson number one. He was with me in class learning Spanish. He was 100% Guatemalan, except he grew up in the United States. He was like 20 years old. He didn't speak a word of Spanish.
So, I think that this is the whole point. I mean,
dual citizenship.
The ship has sailed with the people here. There is no solution. You can't build the wall. You can't have the killing fields out there. You can't do that. You just might as well, like you said, open it up and let them in there. And then just that way,
Now, let me tell you what, that's probably not going to happen. And there's a reason for that. And that is that you get to demagogue it to death forever and ever and ever. You can always have a platform. You can always rail against those nasty illegals for the next 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, you can always stay elected.
I don't know. We don't say what's going to happen on the Jimmy Doan show most of the time. We just say what we want to have happen.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this much. We are headed for national ID, surgical implants. You know, they have pets
microchip.
Now.
RFID.
No, microchip, RFID. I'm telling you, we're headed that way.
Well,
my words. And
well,
we
in this room aren't.
No. That's
we
right.
We will be broadcasting from Radio Free Jimmy Doan Island.
That's the way. That's the truth. That is exactly right. So get ready. I mean, it's the boiling the frog thing. I mean, it's little by little. And it's always a crisis. Every country does it. I mean, how do you think that Castro stayed in power for 40 years? It hadn't because he's treated his own people right. It's because he points to the United States and says, oh, my God, we're going to be ruined by the United States. Look at that country. And it's interesting because there's no reason for it. When you think about it, the United States is the only country that boycotts Cuba at this point. And everybody else trades the poop out of the place down there. I mean, he could be rich.
Speaking of trade.
Yeah. China.
Right.
Yes! Who Flung Du came over? Didn't he?
Not to disparage a world leader.
No.
We've only got one Chinese listener, though.
No, that's right. We do. That's right.
So we apologize to you.
So Shay or whatever you say. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was interesting that, well, he's young and he's, fast riser, and it is fascinating. The first person he met over here was Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Bill.
Here's some of your money.
Yeah, here's some of your money. Sorry for ripping you off.
Right.
I think about it. I mean, who's being ripped off? I've got everybody here the little Simpson blinker things that I got on eBay.
Did you see them?
No,
oh,
they haven't
really,
seen them yet.
Oh, they're really cool.
You want them on eBay. That's awesome.
Yeah, I want them. I won stuff while I was in Costa Rica.
We had to come over here and put packages in the studio that were showing up.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, DEF CON 1, Engineer Eric. Go over there. There's something showing up today.
That's right.
Got to get in the door.
That's right.
Hope you missed it. Got to go to the post office.
That's right. It seems little enough to ask. While I was in CR, you guys could collect my winnings.
That's right.
So we mentioned...
So my point is that you should see these little Simpsons things. Give you an example. They're made in China, of course, and they are little Simpson.
I'll go grab one real quick.
Okay, they're. Are you going to show it in the microphone or what?
If you look really hard at your radio,
if you get your eyeball up to your speaker, your iPod thing.
Here it comes.
Take your iPod ear thing out and put it in your eyeball, and you can see this. No, the deal is that they got these little blinking LEDs on them. It's battery operated. Simpsons thing, it's all cloisonné, whatever it is, sold $1.15 each delivered to my front door. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you kidding? $1.50. This is like it's a computerized electronic $1.15 each from China to my personal hands, including postage, tax, tag, title, dealer prep, and Lisa Simpson and everything.
Well, so my point is that
China's given the store away, and that's fine. And Bill Gates is even going to collect his $1 billion for his ripped off XPs or whatever it is. Right. And,
is he really?
They're going to back pay him. I don't know about that part, but certainly the future.
They've agreed to now incorporate only legal software into their new computers that are sold, right?
Well, into the government ones, I guess, more than likely. But now the other thing, of course, you know, for what it's worth, and I don't want.
I say rip them off.
Well, why?
Well, I think they've also agreed to.
I believe in copyright laws.
Oh, that's right. We need to talk some more about that because there was intellectual property rights and stuff.
Right.
What do you think about that?
All right. So here we are looking at
it. And not only that, he gave me, it has a magnet on the back.
Homer Simpson.
And it's the battery, for God's sakes. If you go to Eckerd's right now or CVS or whatever, the damn battery's $1. And he gave me 15 extra batteries.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's easily impressed.
Jimmy won.
Oh, come on.
You can't help but be impressed by that.
$15 extra batteries.
I guess I can be impressed by the price.
That's my point, is that I don't know what those people are doing over there, but they're making stuff for free. and Bill Gates, so my point is that, of course, Bill Gates, I'm going to just... I don't doubt for a second that
I'll take one.
That next year... No, well, you can have whatever. You can have two or three. Winners. I've got three. I've got Lisa... Bart and Dad.
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 All right, so where else did who go?
Went from Washington to Washington.
Okay, that's right.
And he met with Boeing, of course, because they got a bunch of planes over there. But I'm guessing that Bill Gates' new thing, which now has been delayed, the Vista, which is the next past XP, whatever it is, has been delayed.
Operating system.
This is time next year. And if it's anything like XP, you can bet that it ain't going to fire up at all unless you register it. I mean, I can guarantee you, it's going to be tough to rip that one off unless you've got your own servers or something.
I don't know. You know, I remember when we were kids, you had to get a special disk in order to copy a program. You had to get a pirate disk in order to rip the program off, and it was very complicated. And we used to think, well, boy, it's going to get harder and harder. You're going to have more and more sophisticated rip-off programs. But then it got very easy. All of a sudden, everything could be copied. All you had to do was drag and drop.
Yeah.
And the thing just copied right over.
Yeah.
So my point is that I'm not convinced that he'll create... I think it would be a shot in the foot for him to create a program that can't be used unless it's registered legally with this, what I call, bogus copyright enhancement. The idea being that somebody's going to create a ripoff and give it to him for free or less than that.
Well, maybe what he can do, I guess, is do what they do some places, and that is the China price could be $5 or something, or you know, once
right,
and then it wouldn't be hardly worth ripping it off.
Right. Well, exactly. That's what it gets down to is when it's not even worth ripping it off because you may not get a clean copy or something. The songs these days, $1 a piece. I mean, hey.
Well, not only that, if you think about it, you certainly. I can tell you this much. With XP, I've got, of course, I use a Mac here on the desk, but I do have a Dell for some things. But, boy, without those patches coming down like daily, you'd be scared to death. I mean, you have not only do I have, you know, security, this and white
probably,
for this.
Probably half of them are placebos just to keep you safe.
Yeah, well, that may be. You know, the Mac has them too. I mean, I get system upgrades and so forth and so on, you know, once or every couple of weeks or whatever.
Right, well, Jobs isn't worried about Mac viruses right
now. Did I mention that we really like Macintosh here?
Yes.
That's right.
No. We have half,
computer of the future.
We have half the room that, well, we have... Two-thirds of the room, those Mac Nazis
like
over there.
I like iPods.
How do you get two-thirds out of four of us here?
Well, because, you know, I'm a pretty big guy.
and I've got one of each. I got four of each.
You've got five of each. Right. I'm a PC buff. I'm like Hanger Dogs. I'm like, well, of course, half the Hanger Dogs.
Which reminds me, they sent us a picture of their new computer.
Oh yeah,
that's the one that they've turned into a beer.
All right, so who this? To finish up with who? He's going to be here for a couple more days.
Yeah, something I don't know.
Well, I want to mention the trade deficit thing that they talked about. That is to say, the big article was that we've now incurred a $200 billion trade deficit
per year.
Right,
this year, and of course the total trade deficit is about twice or three times that, or something.
Yeah, I added up the top 15 countries, which constitutes 80%. Of our trade total. And all of those 15 countries we run a deficit with, except
really?
For one. Yes.
Which one?
The Netherlands.
Ah.
We run a $12 billion surplus with the Netherlands.
Well, of course, we run surpluses with a lot of countries, too.
Well,
mostly they're like Costa Rica and places
like
that.
Well, it must be the other 80%. I don't know how we make up the $500 billion.
You mean we ship more stuff to the Netherlands than they...
Yeah,
then
exactly.
Right. Well, they don't have much. You're talking about like up in Norway and Sweden?
No, the Netherlands.
Holland.
We bought a dyke from them. And what was her name anyway?
Yeah. No, they bought them from us, is what it was. And that's
Katrina. No, they wanted to have them come over here and do our dikes in New Orleans.
That's how they'll settle out that deficit.
Don't say do our dikes in New Orleans.
I said that. I did say that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Oops.
So my point is this, though. My question is this. If we run a $500 billion deficit with the top 15 countries that we trade with, which constitute 80% of our total trade,
right.
How can we make that up, and do we need to? That is to say...
Okay, good question. We will, at some point in time, the thing about it, of course, remember, that is a fiction that we actually run this deficit. Remember, the dollar is only legal tender in the United States, so...
But if they're not even counting, they're not counting something because...
Yeah, they're not counting, what they're not counting is the fact that they use those dollars to buy up our government bonds. That money is not, even though what they buy from us, mm-hmm. our $500 billion worth of government bonds a year, mm-hmm. or $500 trillion of government bonds each year, and that's not counted. That's not counted as money that came back into the United States.
Okay.
It's like it never exists, but it does. It has
Should
to.
We be worried whether or not our debt and
not,
companies?
What we should be worried about more than anything is the debt itself. I mean, the fact is that the irresponsible, totally irresponsible thing in my mind is that every dollar they spend over their collections is money that you and your kids and your grandkids are going to have to pay, and they don't get a say in whether they got to spend it or not.
Okay.
And the fact is that what they're spending it on usually is expense items. Remember now, government is overhead to society. It should be small. Any business likes to keep its overhead small. The government right now accounts for somewhere between 30% and 40% of the expenditures.
Well, then let's factor out the debt portion of it. That is to say, if the government somehow ran surpluses for a few years and got out of that debt, where would they reinvest?
Of course, you've just gone into dreamland. Of course, you've gone into some kind of.
Well, that wouldn't benefit.
That's beyond fiction. Nobody's going to believe that.
Everybody runs a surplus every once in every country runs a surplus every once in a while.
Well, how would that help?
We haven't for 40 years, except 1969.
Oh, we ran a few years.
Well, yeah, except they spent it right away.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Reverse those policies.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't spend it, you won't get it the next year.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, that's right.
Well, but
I'm sorry. What was your question again?
Well, just if we didn't have the debt for them to invest in, would it just be?
Oh, well, they would. What it would mean is, in fact, they don't have to buy our debt. They could use that money to buy our stuff, except for the fact that they don't want it.
But the stuff would register on the
right. Then we would be. But in other words, if in fact instead of buying debt, they bought Chevrolets, we'd have a balanced debt. There would be no trade deficit.
We're back to Chevy, man.
But let's
Chevy. We're back to Chevy, man.
We like Chevy.
But I'm assuming that, for sake of the argument or the question, that there's some difference between hard articles and the debt bonds.
Yes, because that's right. There is a difference as far as the way they count it. They don't count the money that comes back here to buy debt.
Okay. But
it is here. It does come. We have a balance. We don't have a... that's why they call it a balance of trade deficit. It's not a deficit. We have no deficit as far as the quantity of dollars are concerned.
What is the quantity of dollars?
You mean the trade?
No, the trade actual, like the money supply in the U.S., how many trillions?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Our GNP is $13 trillion.
But, I mean, how many... How many dollars do you have to have out there?
Don't know. There's velocity and all that other stuff. You know, I to be honest with you, I don't know. It depends on how you measure. That's why they have M1, M2, M3, and all that other stuff. I mean, you know, because there's different kinds of dollars. I mean, if you have a dollar that is not really here yet, or, you know, like what about credit cards? Not so much that, but I mean, credit card, or like you have money in the bank, but of course it's not really there. Remember, it's been loaned out to.
And there's a number on the paper.
Yeah, again, it's,
maybe one of our listeners can inform us a little.
Yeah, all I was...
Okay, thank you, John Maynard Keynes and Ludwig von Mises.
The only reason I wanted that number was to do the calculation based on if half $1 trillion were going overseas every year or so.
No, well, of course, it comes right back. Remember now, that's the whole thing.
Buy the debt.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes back in about a nanosecond. I mean... Either they buy something with it right away, because again, remember now, it's only legal tender. They have to pay their employees in China in yuans or whatever they are, or pandas or whatever they use. And, that's endangered. That's right. Okay. Well, whatever. Anyway, the deal is that money turns around right away, except for some friction, obviously, which actually is good for us. The fact that I read somewhere where something like half of the $100 bills in existence are like in Russia or something. I mean, they actually under the table use it as an exchange thing, but they only do it because they know that they can come back to the United States and actually switch it, buy something with it.
Right.
So that currency actually turns out we do have a lot of that floating around overseas, actual currency. As far as electronic payments are concerned, when you go through that, it instantaneously comes back.
Well, does that substantially create a deflation here?
Yes. In other words, the actual currency that is in circulation in other countries creates somewhat of a deflation in this country. That's right. It has to.
And as you said, there is a lot of currency.
Yeah. No, there's
it's not
there,
just Russia.
No. There's a lot.
Egypt and Nigeria. Yeah. You know. Also.
Oh no. There's a lot. And of course, for some people. Are not happy about it because that's why they have the money laundering, they have boatloads of cash from drugs and everything else trying to go back and forth. I mean, you talk about trouble, you know, people have got all this money and they want to change it into something else. I mean, it can be, if it's illegal, it can be, it's some work.
Well, and it's legal tender over there.
Tender, it's tender.
It's
you can't pay your taxes with it.
It's acceptable.
It's
tender.
Accepted in intrapersonal trades, but it's not, you can't pay your taxes with it. In other words, it's tender. It's like barter. In other words, literally dollars over there are bartered more than legal tender.
It's a
tiny percentage. I mean, even if it's a large, in some countries, especially Caribbean and so forth like that, even though they technically have I'll give you an example. In Costa Rica, the house prices are in dollars. Right. You know, now when you go down there and pay them $100,000 or whatever it is for your condo, that guy immediately goes to the bank and gets colonas, right. or not, because right. the colonies are depreciating. The government has guaranteed has told up front that they're going to depreciate 1% a month.
Well, and it's great, too, because if you're here, it doesn't matter if you have a Russian, an African, a Chinese $100 bill, it's worthless here.
Right.
It's monopoly.
Especially Russian Chinese, because they, yeah, exactly. No, right. That's right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have a $100 Chinese bill, people go, what? What
junk.
Is that thing?
Yeah,
junk.
But I mean, if you've got Swiss francs, you should see what the fee is, the brokerage fee. You know, you go to, when I was in the airport, and the difference between buying and selling prices was like, tons. I mean, it's like 15 or 20% difference.
Right. Wow. And obviously we've seen that before. Did you see that there was a guy that it was in this, I guess the paper yesterday. Yeah, there was a guy, a retiree in northern Germany, flushed some 30,000 marks, or what equates to $18,900 down the toilet, believing the old banks were now worthless because they converted
notes. Yeah,
right.
Could have converted to euros.
Right, but. Exactly. And so he still had another 30,000 marks in the apartment, as well as 17,300 in euro bills. And anyway, he.
Boy, you'd have been out that running out that sewer pipe in a hurry, wouldn't you? Yeah. Wet or no wet,
I'd be digging it up.
Well, what happened was his sewer got blocked up, and then the people came and the police came, I guess, to figure out what happened with the sewer, and all of a sudden they figured out all these notes were clogging up the sewer. So they got him back and they escorted him to the bank and he deposited the money.
Yeah,
sure, it smelled great too.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. That's right. Whoa, that'd be something, wouldn't it? No, I was curious about this because I had some notes and I asked somebody, and apparently for the foreseeable future, whatever the conversion date was a couple years ago, whenever it was, 4, 5, 6 years ago, whenever they converted, that is the conversion rate that you can still take your notes in if you've got French francs or whatever it is, apparently.
Yeah. Euro notes and coins replaced 12 national currencies in 2002. Europeans can still exchange the old money at their central banks.
Right, and it's whatever the rate. In other words, it's not floating. It's
the 2002 rate.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, was that 2002 that they?
That's
switched?
What they said.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Swiss, of course, no fools, they didn't do it.
Always independent,
and the Brits didn't either.
Always independent. Well, that was just a that was just a pride thing for the Brits. I think for the Swiss, they've set the standard for independence.
Yep.
All right. What else?
Figuring it's a country about the size of our county here with 41 cantons or something like that. I mean, well, when we traveled over there, I mean, we took a train ride, went in and spoke a different language. I mean, hello, could have walked to a different language.
Yep, could have walked to a different language.
You can do that here.
Yeah, that's true. And as a matter of fact, I need to go eat lunch with the Cuban sandwich place right down here.
They suck.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah, I like
it. Are you talking about Latin cafe?
And there's some babes down there, too.
The Latin
Serious.
Cafe, he's talking about.
Oh, I believe that. You mean the one on the corner of 34th
right,
University?
Right,
yeah.
The old KFC.
Yeah, nah.
No?
The food's not bad. I thought the sandwich wasn't bad.
Okie dokie.
Well, you're a sushi guy.
Hey, we like them, man.
That's right. So anyway.
Send us some food.
I did want to mention, we're talking about hangar dogs. Let me digress for a second. I noticed that they probably know about the famed test pilot that died, 89 years old.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. His name is Crossfield, which, you know, Crossfield Landing. I don't know. I wonder if the Crossfield Landings were named after him.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, no, Crosswind, those are.
Yeah, I'm about to say, he didn't make it across the field this time.
No, he sure didn't.
He hadn't been in the plane in a while.
Apparently, he was 84 years old, and he was the first pilot to actually break Mach 2.
We broke Mach 2.
That's true.
Do you remember?
We did.
Yes.
That's right.
Does he remember?
Eric and Jimmy were at 2.04
at 64,000 on the Concorde.
On the Concorde. And nobody else gets to ever do it again. We have photos to prove it.
Drinking champagnes with the girls.
That's right. At 64,000 feet. We were high that day.
He was in a Cessna 210, not quite that high or fast.
I love the 210.
Yeah, 210's a nice plane. Anyway, he basically was trying to turn, and he went down, and this witness said that you could tell the motor was having trouble, and then you could tell the motor cut out. So, you know, that's just up. And he was in the mountains.
So this man died flying.
He died flying.
Huh. If you're going to go, especially at that age, you know.
He did fly.
The test pilot.
The only other thing, the only thing better would be flying with Jessica Simpson.
Simpson, right.
Or Rabbit.
Right. Jessica Rabbit.
Uh-huh. One of them. Somebody like that.
Somebody like that. Somebody named Jessica.
Yeah, that's like good enough for me. Close enough.
Actually, wait, he did beat us out. He did reach, he reached a Mach 2.97 and an X-15 at 81,000 feet.
Oh.
Well, you're almost as good as he is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
You guys still have time. See?
That's true.
Well, that's true.
That's true. We
His
did.
Time is
gone. He's got one of those X-15s. And
yeah, well, or something. You know, I'm not proud.
Burt Rutan, whatever.
Well, we need to, when we can do the private orbital thing, whatever it is.
Well, when your little green friends show up, we can ride faster than light.
That's true.
Hey, that's true.
Little friends.
That's right. Wormhole time.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm done with the immigration. What's next on the list? Anybody got?
Oh, we talked. That was immigration. That was.
We're done with China.
Done with China.
Done with immigration. Done with. What about anything you want to mention about gas? The only thing
gasoline I thought was interesting, and it says here the headline. I love this headline: drivers curb use as gas goes up.
Well, 5-year high.
And I'm going, duh. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I love this. It says in here,
shocking.
Here's a shocking sentence from this. History shows that as long as gasoline is available at whatever price, Americans tend to adjust to the price and resume their previous driving habits.
It really? Oh.
You know, and so, I mean, there's actually somebody sat down and wrote this article. This is from USA Today.
Shocked and amazed.
Halfway down it says here, here's an interesting thing. We probably didn't know this, in case you were waiting for the Jimmy Doan to give you some educational information. Gasoline is made from oil. Says right here. And oil prices are setting daily records this week, closing at $72.17. A barrel Wednesday up 82 cents from Tuesday. Oil would have to top $87 to set an inflation-adjusted record. So it's still not as high as it's been, you know, as far as what it takes out of your paycheck. But, I mean, it's just...
Well, they're saying it's still not as high as it should be.
Oh, should, schmud. Right. You know, what I thought was the big email that's been going around, the local spam that everybody's been doing, the spam letter du jour, whatever you call it, chain spam letter.
Pass this on to five of your friends.
Pass this
on.
Yes,
right, and make a wish and your angel will come down and grant you.
It's the boycott Exxon Mobil.
I saw that.
Yeah, they just said just for a month, and they said the price, yada, 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 whatever, and yeah, okay, fine.
It didn't work?
I don't know when it's supposed to actually start. You know, this is kind of like an electro rave or something when everybody gets on and they run downtown to do the, what do they call them, spontaneous, some things that on the internet some of those kids do. They wait, I guess it's on their cell phones. They suddenly show up and do an event, do a performance art thing. They just show up someplace and do something crazy.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal. It's been going on.
I'm out of the loop.
That's shocking.
Shocking.
Shocking
all. Okay. Anything else on gas?
Yeah, I paid nearly $3 a gallon.
I filled up my little teeny red Honda, $35. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I remember dating, for God's sake. You'd put a quarter, 50 cents in, go on a date.
Heck yeah.
Get laid.
My MG. To fill up my GMC was more than $50.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was talking to somebody else. They said their SUV. I know, there was another thing that surprised me down in Costa Rica. Lots of big SUVs down there. I mean, there's some big, these are the big mamas and, you know, they've got to cost them $80 to fill up. I was really surprised. They're, you know, middle-class country. A lot of people middle-class country.
And again, what was the cost of gas in Costa Rica?
About $4 a gallon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cheap compared to, like, say, Europe.
They're giving it away.
As Jeff in Norway is like, man, you guys are so lucky.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was over in Sweden 40 years ago, it was like $3 a gallon or something. Right. I mean, that was like a week's wages or something.
Right.
Back then. I mean, you know, that's big money. No, the, okay, so what's next? You got anything special? I got a couple, two little things here.
Did you want to mention anything about the bloggers from both sides?
Yes, that's exactly right here, next on the list. Bloggers from both sides oppose the FEC regulations, and both the conservatives and the liberals, and the libertarians as well. It says here, apparently there's some people in Congress that decide that free speech shouldn't be free, and what they want to do is they want to regulate the First Amendment and say, okay, if your blog generates one way or the other more than $10,000, I don't know why it's $10,000.
They want to cut.
Huh?
They want to cut.
And then, of course, if you have more, then you come under the McCain-Feingold, whatever it is. You can't you have to give free time. I don't know what the deal is, but there's penalties, and the penalties are supposed to be, I don't know what they're going to be, but jail time. I guess if your budget,
ultimately, like
daily costs or conservative union or something is more than $10,000 and you say vote for, you know, whoever you want to say vote for, then I guess they come around and, you know, SWAT team or something.
So it's only a matter of time until they do this to podcasts as well.
Well, that's the whole idea. They want to do it on the internet. That's the point. That's exactly the point.
They want to get their
the podcast.
They want to make money off of us.
Now, I'll tell you what they want to do. They want to make sure that they have an in when the internet corners the market on communication. That is to say, once TV people stop turn off the TV and start going to the internet for the thing, it'll be measured by the amount of money that those sites bring in, and they want to be on those sites by law, which they arranged to do.
Apparently. Right. Well, they realized it didn't work. That was 10, 12, 15 years ago, you know, they had the equal time law, which they had to repeal because it obviously wasn't working.
But, I mean, you just, I can't, I mean, there is such an incredible resistance about charging for anything on the Internet.
Well, even, but even so, no, there's a bunch of them out there that, that have got, that take donations, and I'm sure they make more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but I'm talking about as far as the people, like, remember that email is going around, oh, everybody, they're going to just, everybody's going to spend a nickel per email or something, or, you know.
Right, well, you know,
well, you already do.
They do, of course, as you know, the interstate taxes are not collected at this point, and because if you buy through eBay or these other places, Amazon or some of these places, you do have to pay taxes. But as you know, the law, the way the law reads, it says that the company that you buy from has to have a significant presence in your state, and then you pay your local sales tax.
Right.
On whatever you buy. Well, of course, so if you buy something from Macy's mail order, you get charged tax.
Right.
I mean, even if it comes from New York, you still get 6.25% here locally, 6.25%. But
bastards.
Yeah, right. But if you buy it from you know, Lands End, who doesn't have a store here, mm-hmm. or I don't know about Lands End, but if somebody put Amazon, for instance, there's no tax.
Morton Thiokol.
Yeah, what? That's right.
Well, it's a place out there in the West that
but they sell
rocket they fuel.
Who sells the little rings, the O-rings?
Well, I think that's a Thiokol produced part.
Okay,
but I'm saying they became famous for their plastic fuel they put in the solid rocket boosters and other rockets and missiles.
Good. We need to have one of them.
Well, I'm saying, but they don't have a big presence here. I mean, they sell to the Cape, but I've never seen or heard about a Morton Thiokol.
Well, of course, that's the other thing. Of course, the government's by their tax exempt anyway.
It's going to be interesting to see in 15, 20, 30 years exactly.
Screw it. You know, this is moving so fast. I had a chat with somebody about this. It's moving so fast, you got to ask yourself, is the technology going to outrun the politicians?
I think it will.
You think? Me too. I've always said that. It's still scary because
too many independent actors for them to keep up.
I couldn't agree with you more. But it still doesn't stop them from trying.
They're going to do sweeping measures like that. Thing,
right.
You know,
right. Sweeping measures.
Immigration roundup that was so successful.
Yep. Right. Yeah, we got 1,100 of them, boy. I'll tell you. Woo.
Worth another year. Let's start a new one.
I'll tell you this. I found, well, I guess I'll say one comment on the immigration again. I'm sorry to digress, but. I found that all the people that I talked to... all the people that I talked to, the biggest complaint was that they got here illegally. That is to say, if they were here legally, they were okay with them being here.
Yeah, BS. I'll tell you, that's crap, too, because I'll tell you what they're complaining about. It's the fact that they don't speak English.
They don't assimilate.
I'll tell you, it's xenophobic because... I've talked to people their raison d'etre is that they're clogging the school systems and the emergency rooms. Now, my question would be, if that weren't happening, would you be happy? And of course, you get a pause while they think about that and they say, well, if I
That'll
say yes, then right. I mean, you know.
He could checkmate me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. One move, mate in one. And, so it's like grandma, you know, when I talked to her about Social Security, of course, she's been, you know, kid from hell. You know, 93 years.
She is government's worst nightmare.
Oh God, yes. I mean, she's lived. You know, 93 years old. It keeps going up. You know, they have the cost of living. I mean. Whatever contribution.
They're going to send an agent to take her out.
No, I'm telling you, that's exactly right. She is, and she said, you know, she had the eye surgery and all that stuff on Medicare and Medicaid and everything else. I mean, she has sucked this system for the big time for 30 years. Oh my God. You know, between her and her husband, I think they put in like 10 grand. And I mean, there is, you know, you'd have to make a return, what's her name?
If they had bought all Intel in 1906.
It still wouldn't have made it. That's right. It still wouldn't have made it. There's not an annuity out there that would pay for what grandma has sucked out of the system. And I'll tell you, like you say, they should have offed her a long time ago for what she's got out of the thing. I mean, it's just phenomenal to me. To think
but we'll talk about Social Security on another day.
Yes, on another day. Well, anyway, talk to grandma about it. And she says, I'm entitled.
Right.
I mean, you know, she to you try and you know you drag up the math, and she says, no, I don't care. You go step by step, and as soon as you get near the goal line, she does an about face and says, I don't care. I'm entitled. We paid. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Grandma, you didn't pay torque. You know? Yes, we did. We paid our whole lives, and my husband died in the service of this country. You know, on and on. Okay, well, fine, Grandma. Yeah, it's great. Oh, my God. I love her to death. There's no question about
it.
We love you, Grandma.
That's right, Grandma. We love you. Of course, she ain't going to download this issue. No, she isn't. Hi, Grandma.
Got her iPod out.
That's it. Yeah, right. Sure.
Government bought her that.
Yeah, I tell you.
Government paid for her iPod.
I tell you.
So, nothing more about bloggers.
Nope.
All right.
We got some light notes, though.
Oh, we do you?
Yeah, don't we?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, we
guess
well, lay it on. What's our time? How are we running time-wise?
We're just about
an hour.
We're at 103.
Okay, well, we can get a little bit here. I don't want to go over 114.
The magic number. The magic
That's
number.
That's the magic number for today.
74 minutes. Yeah, it's one of these things. It's
okay. How about... All right. Well,
what are you laughing at?
It's been two freaking weeks, man.
True.
I got all kinds of stuff.
Well, we can do another show.
I'll rip through. We'll see how fast we can go through. And again, you can comment, and we can always do whatever.
I wanted to go to the market tonight to get some mangoes, and I didn't make it.
Well, then, good. We can stay all night and record.
Oh, good plan. And page two.
Did you see that? And this is the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Did you see the Army bans use of privately bought body armor?
Yes, yeah. I saw that.
I can't believe that.
That is unbelievable.
Why?
Well, because the fact that, regardless, I would take some armor over no armor.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
These people over here dragging skin gear in California, these people are buying the armies, not sure that it's actually measured up to their standards. And, of course, their standards are, we're not going to give you any at all.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm just like...
I guess maybe those cotton uniforms will stop, a butterfly? As long as they throw butterflies at you, you're okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'd imagine that
it's a damn shrapnel.
You really hit them with the butterfly cannon.
As long as your windshield is still intact and you're F-15, that butterfly isn't going to be too much of a problem. But
well, obviously, their intent is not to prevent soldiers from being protected.
Their intent is to prevent them from using their own armor instead of the one that
they don't want
to have an unfair advantage. Or
No. Over the stuff that the Army gives them. That is to say,
they like standard. They want everybody to use the same thing.
I'm just saying
it's stupid because they ought to just let them do whatever they want.
A government decision is stupid. Wait a minute. Stop the presses, everybody. I don't believe this.
Man, if I don't know.
Is anybody fighting it?
Yeah, they're all. They're going to
fight.
That's
why the
Army they're going to lose. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the Army banned it, and it's gone. That's it. I mean, you know, you sign up, you play by our rules.
Of course, we know a certain captain who has armed himself in certain ways otherwise.
Yeah.
They can ban it all they want.
Well, I mean, are you referring to in Vietnam era, or are you referring to recently?
Recently.
Okay.
Okay, this is code stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Well, but I know the Vietnam era.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that will eliminate this problem, and that is once all those people that don't have any armor are dead, then
there'll be plenty of armor left over.
That's
okay,
right.
No, all right, there you go.
We are approaching, for what it's worth, a little milestone here. It won't be too long before as many soldiers have died in Iraq as were killed in the towers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people. I mean, it's like 3,000.
Eye for an eye.
Well, whatever.
Forget the 100,000 for my right eye. It's the same side.
Yeah.
If that isn't a media-created event, then I would have never thought of that one. That's unbelievable.
No, I made that up. Excuse me. Hello.
Well, you're media.
Oh, that's right, I am. Oh, that's right, this is a Jimmy Dome show. I forgot about that. Jimmy Dome.
JimmyDome.com.
That's
right. All
right,
what else you got?
How about this man held as terrorist suspect over punk rock song? This guy got in the, this is of course over in London.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway, apparently this taxi had been fitted with a music system which allowed him to plug his MP3 player in.
Aren't they all? Did you see the new BMW?
All right, so young guy gets into a cab.
Yeah, he's singing along to the Clash's 1979 anthem London Calling, which has some lyrics in there, and now war's declared and battle come down, and then he's got some other lines.
Always say, mate.
Yeah, and so anyway, he was playing also some Zeppelin and Beatles and Procol Harum.
And the cab driver was
didn't like the Beatles or Zeppelin.
Was the cab driver a Muslim?
No, I'm sorry. He didn't like the Beatles, Zeppelin, or the Clash.
Well, he had to be a Muslim.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they got like lots of them.
Who was the cab driver just...
No, they turned him in. They turned him in the cab. They arrested him. They let him go.
Yeah. Actually, it was Haraj Mann.
Hello,
Chelsea. That's not the cab driver. That's the guy.
Oh, the guy. Was he wearing one of the turbans or what? We don't know.
Okay, so he was a Muslim.
Well, he didn't.
Well, we don't know, but he was listening to the Beatles. Like, who cares, you know? And Crash or Clash.
And it's not like he's got the in his head and he's singing along. It's like you can hear the song and he's singing along,
right?
You know. So anyway, whatever. I thought that was kind of funny. How about this one? Tax law authors have pros do their returns.
Well, sure. Many
lawmakers who sit on the tax writing committees in Congress hire professional preparers to fill out their own tax returns rather than try to decipher by themselves the laws they've written.
That brings up, of course, a couple of interesting things. This year, of course, it was the 17th or something like that. We did have a bunch. Apparently, the fair tax thing out by the post office was eminently successful. They had a lot of people marching, they went out there. They said they handed out 300 or 400 things, and people were, you know, were appreciative. And apparently, after it got dark or got late or something like that, the authorities came out and moved them away from wherever they were passing out this stuff. But they're still out there for 3 or 4. Apparently, it was, according to everything I heard, it was quite successful.
It's fairtax.org.
Is that what it is, Fair Tax? Is it .org?
I believe so.
Yeah, well,
we talk about the Fair Tax.
We talked about
log
it.
Of criticism that I've come up with. On
what?
I said I've come up with something that I don't like about it.
Well, so, and?
So next time we mention it.
I was going to say, but there's nobody, let me put it this way, there is not a tax plan that everybody's going to like. The question is can you find a tax plan that's better than 6 million of convoluted Byzantine words that nobody understands? In fact, the people that wrote the law, except for one guy, can't understand it. They have to have professionals do it, and their taxes can't be even as complicated as mine. And they and 40, you know, H&R Block and everybody else is making. When you figure out that it takes, I did the math one time. I forget how many millions of hours it is that are spent on preparing taxes. But if you take a person in that it is working up a working person, and he works 8 hours a day, 5 days, 40-hour week, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people in this country that do nothing but prepare taxes. That's their whole being. That produces nothing. It does nothing. I mean, it does nothing to contribute to this country. And we're talking about the equivalent of tens of thousands of lives that do nothing but prepare taxes when you take the hours and assign them.
Prepare tax would
eliminate all of that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, literally. And as I say, the collection. So, yeah, don't get me wrong. I have no doubt that there are problems. One of the things that I hear all the time about the fair tax, and then we can go on, is they say, well, what about the mortgage deduction? Deduction against what? If you're not paying taxes, there's nothing to deduct. I mean, what are you talking about? The deduction is against your income, and it can reduce your taxes. But if you have no income taxes, then why would you have a deduction?
You already got 100%.
Yeah, you already got 100%. Right. You want more? Sorry. It doesn't work that way. The earned income mortgage enhancement reverse deduction?
Right.
I don't think so.
There was this other guy, another light note. This guy... trading up from a paperclip to a new house.
I saw that. I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
It's just one of those things where we're talking about making money on the internet. This guy started off with a red paperclip and traded for somebody for a little pen, and then went and traded it for somebody with a something or other, and then he worked his way up after like all this stuff. And of course, the media kind of got involved with this type of story, which is the big way to make money on the internet.
Right.
And then he got a snowmobile, and then he got some kind of
recording contract
for this girl and traded it.
Well,
off
now you think about it when you're doing trading. I got a newsflash for you. That's a zero sum game when you're trading.
No, it's not necessarily.
No, somebody ended up with a paperclip. That, in other words, they traded something for more value.
They wanted.
Right.
Well, that's true. That is true. That is true. I take it back. I'm sorry. You're exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a guy who. Okay. And I need to think about that because here's a guy who basically started with a paperclip and worked his way up to, is going
to
work his way up, it looks like. I mean, he's already up to something that's pretty close
to it. He's got a year free living in a house.
Right.
It's all a barter system thing, but I see what you're talking about as zero sum. In other words, he's not adding to the wealth of society.
Yeah, he didn't create anything.
Well, actually, he is. The work that he's doing is the contact. It's the sales. That is to say, when he finds somebody that wants what he has,
he has worked to get them something that they want.
Yeah, but there's nothing created. Extra created in this. We're talking about somebody that makes, like my Simpsons pins here. I mean, they did not exist previously. The thing about it is if you end up, if everybody started off with a paperclip and wanted to move their way, it wouldn't work.
Well, he did trade something to a recording studio that's going to make an album for
somebody. Okay, now that's something. Again, that's where it's not zero sum, but I'm
right. He's done the work to set up that deal.
Well, work schmirk. You know, I mean, you can, the thing is if you do work, look, you can.
It's like saying that salespeople don't add anything to society.
No, it's not that at all. I'm not saying that. They can add value, but the thing is that I'm looking at the total sum of this sort of thing. In other words, if you do work, you can do work by running around in circles all day, literally. And that's not going to add.
It would add value if some people came by and paid to see you do it.
And they're gonna okay. We're off the track. We'll talk about so this some more.
But actually, so this does bring up one of my favorite things, which is we've talked about the U.S. economy, world economy, trade deficits, all this stuff. And I said before, and I'll say it again: the only thing I care about is my economy.
Well,
if I am super mega wealthy, you become a world traveler and do whatever you want.
That was interesting when I had time to go back a little bit to the lunch that I had today. I was talking to these people. It is amazing to me how much these people, you know, claim to care about everybody else in the world. And I'm thinking, and they're sitting here having this fancy lunch and everything else. It's words, you know, yada, yada, talk,
right.
talk, and, you know, BS. And the guy, I mean, admitted, you know, claims, says, yes, I'm a socialist. I'm going like, okay, you got yours, pal. Nice. You can be a socialist. You're getting ready to croak in a couple of years, number one. You're living in a comfortable house, car, everything else. You can be a socialist all you want. I mean, at your age and stature, but that's okay. Good luck
edit.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
no,
edit,
not
edit.
A problem.
Yeah, no.
All right. How about this one? Man rediscovers gift fruitcake from 1962.
Whoa!
Send it back up.
Send it. Return it.
Return it.
Could
yeah.
That happens every Christmas time.
Yeah,
you?
That happens.
Oh, you don't return it. You pass it on.
That's right. Well,
you regift it.
Probably
right.
You regift. I'm a firm believer in regifting. What was his name? I wonder if that was the one I sent him. You know, in 62.
Lance Nesta.
Oh yeah. Okay, I remember that cake.
Good old Lance. Remember that game?
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one.
He got out of the military and he packed it with his belongings and shipped it to his home in Waukesha or whatever in Wisconsin. And then he was going through his mom's attic and found it in there. And he goes, it looked just the same as the day I packed it 40 years later.
I just wonder if he found his baseball card collection or something, made some money.
See, that's the one you want.
Yep.
All right, I got a few kudos to this guy. Phony doctor gives free breast exams.
Yeah, I saw that. They arrested the guy. I want to ask you, counselor, what is the story? The guy walks up. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, they arrested this guy.
76-year-old man.
76 goes up to the front door.
In Florida neighborhoods.
In Florida neighborhoods. Down at
offering free breast exams.
And the girl says, 36 years old, come on in. Mm-hmm. And examine my breasts,
mm-hmm.
and he does, and, you know, then reaches down for, you know, the whatever it is, area, and so forth. And, I mean, and then she says, well, no, you can't do, I'm trying to figure out what the crime is here.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, hello. That gives me a great idea, except for the arrest part.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's probably something to do with the fact that he said he was a doctor.
Mm. Yeah, and practicing without a license? I mean, they didn't get him for that. They got him for lewd and lascivious.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can always argue consent.
How about this? A man ticketing for making traffic lights green. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
Stole my idea.
Got a device on eBay.
Yeah, that apparently you can.
That as you're coming up to a stoplight.
Oh, it's
it
what
changes.
It's what the fire engines and ambulances
use. Yeah.
How did they catch him?
Because what happened was, is that this guy had it for 2 years. And he was always late, he says. He bought it for $100 on eBay. And he says it really helped him cut his driving time down to work.
No shit.
And so the device is called an Opticon. And anyway.
You have to hold it out the window or something?
No, I'm not really sure. But it emits an infrared pulse that receivers on traffic lights pick up. So he was cited after city traffic engineers who noticed repeated traffic light disruptions on certain intersections spotted a white Ford pickup passing whenever the light patterns were disrupted. And city traffic, so that's what happened. City traffic engineer Joe Olson said traffic engineers plan to update the city's Opticon system this year to block unauthorized light changing signals.
Good luck.
And I read an article on that that said, I think his comment was something along the line of, well, I got my money's worth.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he. They gave him a $50 ticket on suspicion of interfering with a traffic signal.
He didn't deny
now,
it.
Now, how do you get there a ticket no for suspicion? That doesn't.
Because he didn't deny it. He said, "I got my money's worth." Okay.
That's what he said. He goes, "I guess in the 2 years I've had it, that thing paid for itself." He told the newspaper Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he gets a ticket for suspicion on interfering.
Can you get a ticket for
right.
No, somebody you can't get a ticket for suspicion. I wouldn't think. You got to be like convicted.
Yeah. Actually, when you're given the ticket, it's not you're actually convicted right.
Oh, that's
then.
True. That's true. That's true. You can contest it, right? Sure. Yeah.
So they just call it suspicion, I guess.
Yeah.
Only got two more things here. 82-year-old ticketed for slow street crossing. Now maybe if this guy would have been in the same street as this guy changing the lights, wappo.
Yeah.
But it was an 82-year-old woman received a $114 ticket for taking too long to cross a street.
She, you know, you'd think at 82 you'd learn to buy a white cane and just be done with it. I mean, you know, you can do that.
What town was this in?
This is in L.A. in the Valley. In the San Fernando Valley.
There's got to be another part to that story.
Well, she said the motorcycle officer who ticketed her told her she was obstructing traffic. I think it's completely outrageous, she said.
She should have hit him with her closed fist.
who described herself as a Cherokee medicine woman.
Oh, there you are, racism. Wow, racism. You know, original.
She treated me like a six-year-old. Like I
well,
don't know what
good
I'm doing.
News.
So age discrimination as well.
Age discrimination, but I mean
with kid gloves is what.
With you know. Yeah, it's so cute.
That right,
kid
gloves. And he said that
yes,
this Los Angeles police sergeant said police are cracking down on people who improperly cross streets because pedestrian accidents are above normal. Improperly, I mean, you know. Is there a proper way to cross the street, I guess?
No,
you know?
I guess probably what happens.
You have to wait for permission from the computer.
That's right.
I can go halfway, then the light changes, she says, who uses an electric cart because she has difficulty walking. So she was actually in a cart.
She's in a vehicle. Ah!
In a vehicle.
Ah, there you go.
And on Friday, the light changed.
She needs to get one of those little infrared light thingies.
Here you go. On Friday, the light changed.
Maybe that guy could sell it to her. He could get his money back. He could get his money back.
He's free.
He's free. He sell for $150. He gets his money back and the ticket. Boom,
right,
done. Yeah, let's put those people in touch with one another.
Email us.
This is on Friday, the light changed too quickly, even for high school students to make it across without running. It went from green to red in 20 seconds, they say, claim.
And, of course, this is a 19-lane L.A. highway.
Right.
Typical,
you know,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she probably started across it right when it was changing back or something like that. But still, how ridiculous. I mean, this old, you're going to give the old lady the $100
yeah,
ticket.
Yeah, the old lady.
I mean,
well,
as you
that,
said, the penalty for not crossing the street correctly is death.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, well, the other thing is, I would say that you can go it both ways, and that is if she was smart, she'd pull the Steve Martin thing and have a six gun with her so that if anybody started to run her down, she'd plug them. This is called crossroad rage.
Crossroad rage.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, last thing I got here. This is great because, of course, we have inside information that a certain lawyer in the room actually had a python at one point in time.
Yeah,
and released it. Yours was a specific mix, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Burmese Indian?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is the widest python and the
longest.
Well, yeah.
It's conceivably the biggest, fattest snake in the world right now.
Exactly.
And in fact, right now is the operative. I think, considering when you let it go, I believe that we could figure out that right now is the operative term.
When I let it go,
in the Everglades?
Yeah. When I let it go 7 years ago, it was growing at 1 foot a month.
I think I saw a picture of it with an alligator in its mouth.
No, no, that was another one. No, this one. This
that was
is the
a
one.
Baby one.
This is, yeah, that was a baby, right. What? I don't mean that this, if at 1 foot a month, I'm trying to figure, if you walk between Orlando and Lake Okeechobee and you trip over it, that's a long snake.
You could have it swallow some fiber optics and connect the coast.
You could hide behind it and use a barrier when you're shooting your way out of the drug dealers.
Well, so what was the story about the snake?
Well, what they're doing is they're saying biologist battles to rid killer pythons from Florida park. And
they're talking about the Everglades.
Yeah, they're talking about they're trying to eradicate these giant Burmese python snakes from the Everglades National Park.
Why don't they kill the alligators?
Well, one of the things that they've come off the endangered species. Well, the other thing is that the Everglades National Park is not something you just kind of casually walk around. I mean, it's like 200,000 square miles or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like mostly swamp and stuff. I mean, it's not like a dog walk park or anything like that.
It's not a bike path.
No, bike.
Running around.
No, I mean, you couldn't even, if you put your airboat on full, it would take you 2 days to get across it.
Yeah.
With extra fuel.
But you'd be dead because the mosquitoes would carry you off.
There's
after about
no 2 hours. No. There's no question. No.
Yeah. They make more noise in your airboat.
That's true. That's true.
People are letting lizards, they're letting snakes, they're letting all sorts of things
go. Oh, let it all go, man. Yeah. It's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they say that there could be thousands of them out there.
There could be.
You know, you do the math on something like that. I mean, you wonder what the natural enemy of a snake is. I mean, they only lay like a million eggs or something. I mean,
a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're munching on raccoons and stuff out there. I guarantee it. They're popping in.
And deer, they got deer out there,
They
got tons of deer. I mean, I can imagine that they're getting...
Not anymore.
That's right.
We have a lot of large snakes and no deer.
That's right. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm done.
All right.
Well, thank you all. Say, listen, we'll come back a little sooner. I'm sorry for the delay, but we did not, what do they call it? They call it pod fading when you quit, But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a term for that.
A lot of people, well, I've got a bunch of them that have just quit, so we're back. And we're back.
We're not going anywhere.
No, we're not going anywhere. Have a good time.
Tell your friends.
Thank you for listening. And
send us an email, jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Yeah, thank you for the emails that we did get. I didn't respond. There was one fellow that wrote me about Bolivia, and I did want to respond to that, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
I appreciate that. And
thank you, Anger Dogs, for the coffee mug.
Yes.
Really nice.
AngerDogs.com. Don't forget
that. Thanks for your mail about my show.
Kurt, you did a great job.
Job. Yeah. Love it.
Very cool. So we'll see you guys sometime.
Soon.
Bye-bye.
We would like to thank you for listening to the Jimmy Dome Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of the Jimmy Dome Show.